We pray. Lord God, we all enter into this world and into this life with a desire to do our own will and to deny your will. Lord, the effect of sin has led to this beginning for everyone born of a woman. But Lord, you would see the need to send a champion, one who would come in our place, one who would live to do nothing but your perfect will, even when that will meant his own suffering, grief, and loss. So Lord, we thank you for your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Jesus, that you were willing to be the obedient Son, the obedient Israel that we were never able to be. And that you, by your grace, would also impart to us the very righteousness that you earned with your life, with your thoughts, with your actions, with your words, and with your will. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So almost 2,000 years ago, and 6,690 miles away from Dallas, your Savior, my Savior, stepped into the waters of the River Jordan. And he stepped into that water for not his own sin, but that he might receive upon himself the sins of all humanity ever before his advent into the flesh. He steps into the water, Luke 3 says, after all of those people who heard the call of John the Baptist entered into the water, last goes Jesus, that he might take upon himself their sin. And he is baptized to take the sin of all humanity ever since that moment upon himself. This baptism by your Lord and my Lord, your Savior and my Savior in the River Jordan was a painless baptism. But it was one that prepared our Lord Jesus for the baptism that would also come to him, that would be by way of fire and by way of suffering on the cross. That he, on his own shoulders, would bear our sin, and that that sin would be nailed, killed, and left behind on that cross that day. And from his wound, we hear the spear pierces, and water and blood flows out. And Peter says to us, it is by his wounds that you and I are indeed healed. This cross, this Christ crucified, is the place where God deals with you, where he deals with me, where he deals with all of those who have gone before us. Sin is not ever overlooked. It's not ever passed by. It is removed, and it is forgiven. And it comes to us first in our painless baptism by water and the Word. I say all of this to say that this reality for you and for me gives us a new way of hearing these ancient words from the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah speaks these words in our text from chapter 43 today, 200 years before the southern kingdom collapses and is thrown into exile in Babylon. And these are the words we need to now hear in a new way in light of our Lord's blood and sacrifice. He says, "But now, listen to the Lord who created you. The one who formed you says, do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. When you go through the deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through the rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. We hear this image as Israel hears that image, and we would think of all of those who paid the price of wickedness at the flood. But then we realize Noah and his family are also saved above the water. They do not drown, but are saved. We can think of Israel moving through the Red Sea, where God parts that sea. They move through safely, and then that sea comes tumbling down on the enemies of God's people and drowns the soldiers of Egypt. We can think to the disciples, the 12, with Jesus in a boat on the Sea of Galilee, believing that they were about to drown as a result of the storm, and the boat seems to be giving way, and there Jesus speaks just a word and the storm ceases. We can think of Peter, who wanted so desperately to walk on the surface of the water, and through the power of the Lord's word, he does. But then he turns his attention from the Lord. He begins to sink. He cries out, "I'm drowning." And the hand of Jesus enters into the depth of the water to pull Peter up and bring him to safety. These are images we now know to be true when we hear these words. And it goes on, "When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you." Shadrach, Meshach, and who? Abednego, right? The text goes into great detail about how many clothes they had on, the turban they had on. In other words, it just lets you and I know how flammable they were. And because they would not bow their knee to a foreign god, but only the true God of Israel, they're thrown into the fire to be burned. And that fire is turned up 10 times the normal temperature. And the text tells us they came out of that fire unharmed, and even more so, without even the hint of a scent of smoke on their clothes. How many of you in Texas have ever smoked meat? I'll tell you, it takes days to get it out of your clothes. It stinks. It smells. You have to shower like 5 times in the same day. Not even the scent of the fire by which they were thrown in is on them. And then Jesus continues in this passage from Isaiah saying, "I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." Others were given, he says, in exchange for you. I traded their lives for yours because you are precious to me. You are honored, he says, and I love you, he says. In this world, brothers and sisters, there are any number of circumstances and situations that can lead you and I personally to feel worthless or less than the others around us. We can quickly, in a moment, feel insignificant, unlovable, incapable, unworthy of ever being before God or anyone else for that matter. And the contributing factors to this in a broken world are all over the place and are exponential. You can have this feeling just simply at the loss of a job. You can have this feeling by going on date after date after date and never seeming to find the one. You can have this feeling when you go through a messy separation or divorce. You can have this feeling when you're diagnosed with some sort of affliction, whether that be cancer, Parkinson's, Lou Gehrig's disease, dementia, and on the list goes, but all of them with the same effect, making you feel as if you've been made to be worthless and useless with no real purpose. Sometimes it just happens as you age and you experience the travails of life and years. As my brother-in-law says, it's not always about the years, but it's always about the miles. You know the times that you grunt now, getting up from a squat when you never did before. I've heard older members of our church say, you know, getting older is not for sissies. Right? All of these things can be used in a way to lead you and that internal voice inside of you to say, worthless, useless, failure. Brothers and sisters, Isaiah speaks to a nation chosen by God. And this nation, Israel, has been worthless. They're idolaters. They ignore the prophets in all the times God speaks to him. They suffer for their sins. They, by their own actions, rob themselves of experiencing some of God's promises in the present. And they suffer greatly for this. They stiffen their necks, the scriptures say. If you read through some of the prophets like Ezekiel, you will see that God refers to his people as prostitutes, as whores, as animals in heat, all to depict their spiritual unfaithfulness and waywardness and their wandering, lustful heart. In some ways, we can look at Israel and say, you know, they are so much worse than us in specific ways. And in other ways, we could say, you know, they are so much better than we are at that time. It's this kind of people, sinners, unrighteous, unfaithful, that Isaiah speaks these words to. They haven't even got their act together yet, and it would seem that maybe they'll never get their act together. For it seems like they've been worthless day after day, year after year, and century after century. But God says, listen to the Lord who created you. The one who formed you says, do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. That's where you can hear your baptism. When you go through the deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fires of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. And Jesus says, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. And I honor you. And I love you. See, Scripture also says, at just the right time, Jesus died for sinners. At just the right time, the promise is spoken to a wayward people of a Messiah and Savior that would one day come. C.S. Lewis, if you've ever read any of his books, the book I'm thinking of in particular is called Surprised by Joy. And C.S. Lewis recounts a junior high debate and discussion from his time in school in England. And he says, we had this debate on whether or not the future was a line already drawn or a line yet to be drawn. Is the future a line already drawn, or is it yet to be drawn? Well, C.S. Lewis says when he writes this, I can't remember which side I took, but I really argued passionately. Well, I'll say this, as these words of Isaiah the prophet do. If it is a promise of God to you pertaining to the future, you can assure yourself of this. It is a line already drawn. The hope of Isaiah is a line driven right to the incarnation of Jesus, right to his cross, right to his tomb, right to his resurrection. And that's why this word to them can do and mean exactly what it does. And in light of that cross, in light of that past, we too can hear these words filled with hope and promise. Just as St. Paul reminds us in today's reading when he says this, we know that our old selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin, for when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know we will also live with Him. My encouragement to each and every one of you this 2025, knowing the exponential ways by which we can quickly be made to feel worthless, useless, and incapable, is let this be a word we speak into one another's lives, reminding one another in those moments, you are indeed precious. God honors you, and He tells you that He loves you. And He has set you in a new direction, in a new way, with a new will, and a new life, and even eternal life to come. Which, by the way, is a line already written. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, you came to us when we were not at our best, but at our worst. Not only our worst, but in need of death. And Lord Jesus, it is because of your painful death on that cross that we get to experience death in a painless way as we are baptized. And as St. Paul tells us, we are dead and buried with Christ, but also brought back to new life, just as our Lord was the first fruits of the resurrection. And Lord, there is or are many promises already fulfilled, and there is one major promise still to come. And Lord, it is to that promise that we turn our attention and our hope is placed, that you will one day return, and you will call us by our names, you will ransom us, you will rescue us, and you will deliver us to a new heaven and a new earth. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.